Morning, Mr. Singh. Amen. Good morning. We want to welcome everyone to Jenkins this morning. And this is a time when we welcome and greet each other. So if you would stand up and greet your neighbor, go across the aisle, say hello to people you haven't seen in a while. Yeah, her thing is perfection. Is it not on here?
It may be.
I don't see it. Okay, so it's a T for Sabetta, that's the extra name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Late first. Okay, if you look in your bulletin, we have some announcements. We want to make sure that you know that on Mondays at 10 a.m. there's a Bible study here with Gloria Job for the women. They meet on Monday mornings in the classroom across from the kitchen. Wednesday nights we've started our 6 o'clock dinner and 6:45 worship again. Savetta is doing the sermon on Wednesday night. Also, we want to remind you that Savetta and Yaroslav are moving into their house this weekend, and right after the late service of church, we're having a tea housewarming thing here in the fellowship hall for them. So we hope that you'd often attend that. Any other announcements? Sonia?
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you are at all interested in these sketches or the CD, then you can tell the reader coming to me. So if you are at all interested in speaking with, I think it's at least five area churches that are going to be together, so just let Stephanie or Peter come in.
Sonia? Thank you, Sonia. Anybody else have any announcements?
The Episcopal Church of the Good Shepherd, corner of Wilson Pike and Crockett Road, will dedicate a new sanctuary today at 3 o'clock. I believe it's 3 o'clock. If you get there at 3, you won't be late. It could be 3:30. I believe it's 3. Okay. And you know where that is. And the pastor, I think they call him the priest, lives in this neighborhood. And Mr. Shopwell and Ms. Shopwell attend church there. And they have been very encouraging to our church. If nothing, if you don't remember anything else, the chandelier in the vestibule narthex. So, call your attention to that. Also, children's activities on Sunday and Wednesday, and they're kind of running together. We try to get through with one and run right on to the other, so you won't have to make so many trips to the church if you're a parent. But we do have Wednesday night and Sunday night, I think from 4:30 on until 6 at least, Wednesday, and about, just keep up with the bulletin, and they'll be here, so they'll get through with one place and ship them on to someplace else real quick. And they may be tired when they go home, but that means they'll sleep better, right?
Right.
I'll be high for them.
Just a reminder to those of you that are in the youth Christmas play, starting Sunday, October 1st, the youth Christmas day play practice will start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And the fall retreat is October 21st through 22nd at Crystal Springs for the youth. If you're interested in doing that, see Susan for an application. Okay, prayer and praise request. Anybody have prayer requests?
At one service, I did mention 2 or 3 weeks ago that I won't be gone for next week. I won't be gone for next week. I'll be gone the following week. So I will be here for World Communion Sunday too.
Okay. Any updates on anybody in the prayer list?
I just have one to add.
Okay.
Roy Stevens, who's I think they're attending Cane Ridge Church this morning. But Roy and Jimmy, longtime friends, and he's in the Baptist, but run some tests this morning, I'm sure they'll find.
Okay. A friend of ours, Ron Turk, he's our age, which is old but not real old yet, but he was having some chest pains this week, and they took him to the hospital. He's at home, but he's going back to the cardiologist on Wednesday to have some more test runs, so keep him in your prayers. Also, Joelle Neville, who is the wife of Aaron Neville, they relocated here after the New Orleans disaster, and she has just been diagnosed with terminal bone cancer. And she does not have a lot of time left with us here on earth, so pray for that family. Anybody else?
Mandy, our nursery keeper, called in this morning sick. She don't know if something may be on serious with her present.
Okay. Also, at Wednesday night, I had put my mom's best friend Janice on the phone. She's on the phone. I have not had my coffee yet this morning. Can y'all tell? I put her on the prayer list Wednesday night. She is in remission from breast cancer, and she's been doing really, really well the last year or so. And she got a call from her doctor saying that her blood work, something was up with her blood work. She had to go in on Thursday. Well, she went in on Thursday. He goes, "Oh, no, nothing's wrong. We just forgot to draw something." So I think that was prayer. So just keep her lifted up in your prayer, okay? Anyone else? Any praise? Any more prayer requests? Okay, at this time we pause for a moment of silence, preparing our hearts for the worship of our God. Amen. As we light the candles, we welcome Jesus, the light of the world, into our sanctuary, into our hearts, and into our service. Okay, we're going to open this morning with our call to worship. It's found in your bulletin. Sing for joy to God our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob. Begin the music. Strike the tambourine. Play the melodious harp and lyre. Psalm 81, 1 and 2. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. Psalm 99, 5. Our hymn of praise is We Will Glorify, page 72. If you'll turn in your hymnals and stand, please.
We will glorify
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to glorify You. Lord, we know that we need to just clear our lives of worldly cares and come here and stand before You and sit before You and just drink in Your presence. And then, Lord, prepare us to go back into the world to minister to those cares. Lord, we've shared many of them this morning. They're Yours. Now let us think on You. Let our hearts be attuned. You are the Creator. You are the King of the universe. And we praise You. And we offer our prayer and this hour in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us state our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now comes the time in our service when we do the confessing of our sin. The call to confession is from Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Would you recite with me the prayer of confession, please? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have refused to hear the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness is from Psalm 86, verses 12 through 13. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Hallelujah. The next hymn is Trusting Jesus, page 355 in your hymnal.
Let's sing the first and the last. 1 and 4. I'm going to let Kim do all the talking now.
Good morning, everybody. You see that I am on the schedule to sing this morning, I think. Yeah. And since you all get to hear me most every month, I brought a special guest with me this morning. As I mentioned last week, I'm doing concert series out at Sweet Springs, and last night was our gospel series. And our guest, our featured performer last night, was Brian Duncan. And he has very graciously agreed to come and do the special music for us this morning. So it is very early for Brian because he is on California time. I told him we are a very forgiving group because you all get to listen to me at 8 a.m., which is sometimes not real pretty. He's used to an electric piano, so we're just going to love you anyway, Brian, no matter what you do. So just have at it.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, folks. How are you doing? I'm going to try not to scream really loud, but there's some high notes in here.
God bless you guys.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Okay, at this time, we're going to have our offertory sentences from Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Could I have the ushers come forward, please?
Your people in his temple. Oh, praise him, Father, art is good, and you are his possession. The word of all the Lord of all the earth is here to bless him. From deepest sea to cloudless sky, your wind and rain and season. Praise him, the name of the Lord. Praise him, the name of the Lord. Praise him, the name of the Lord. Praise him.
Now, if you will, please, to hymn 548. Talking about Brian being on California time. I'd love to be able to sing like that no matter what time it was. Nancy and I went to visit our friends in Nevada. We have a little travel clock that is one of those atomic clocks. And you have to set that thing for what time zone you're in. And we set the alarm, but we didn't set the time zone. And we were supposed to go to Hoover Dam the next day. And the alarm went off, and Nancy and I got up, and we took our showers. And we got dressed, and we said, why is John and Sybil not up yet? It's almost time to go. Well, it wasn't, because the atomic clock resets itself to the time zone, so it reset itself to central time. So we were up 2 hours early. We got, instead of getting up at 5:30 in the morning, we got up at 3:30. So you've got to be careful about those time zones. Again, let's sing the first and last stanzas, 548.
Beyond the sunset, oldness of all.
heaven is begun. Earth's toil has ended, the glorious dawning beyond the sunset when day is done. Beyond the sunset, O glad reunion with our dear loved ones to God before.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from Hebrews 10:23-24. And 1 Timothy 4:6-16. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Turn your hymnals now to hymn 383. Open our eyes, Lord.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to
It's my hope that we can see Jesus coming through the message this morning. At least He will speak to us. How many of us like to read instructions? Anybody really like to read the book of instructions? Probably not. How many of us try to, or how many of us get a bicycle or a swing set or some contraption and read the instructions before we attempt to put it together? Only one. Most of us make a stab at it first. How to start a car, how to change oil, etc., etc., etc. How to put the bicycle together after midnight, Christmas Eve, or Christmas morning. And I'm afraid that so many people that I have run into, wouldn't be any of you, would it, try to do this in living the Christian life, or in acting like a Christian, they will trust in Jesus and make a commitment to Him and invite Him into their heart. They will become believers and then start out on their own based on what they picked up here and there and what they have seen in other people and what they have thought was a good pattern, following what they thought was a good pattern, but it really wasn't a good pattern. Diana, I'm having trouble after our sermon a few weeks ago with you sitting over here by yourself. And one of the things, I want somebody to go over and sit with you, but you can come over here. One of the things is, strangers in our midst. Now, she's not a stranger, but if she keeps sitting by herself, she will be a stranger, right? Thank you, Diana. And I feel close enough to Diana that I can say that and not know I won't embarrass her. Okay. Thank you. And we didn't forget, did we, to go over and sit with the visitor at least. So she's not really a visitor, but still was sitting by herself. Most lonesome place in the church is right in the, maybe the most lonesome place in the world is right in the midst of the church and a bunch of people all around, and we're sitting by ourselves. And then everybody talking to each other and not talking to us. Okay? Didn't know I'd ever have to do that again after about 3 weeks ago, but thank you anyway. I'm being mean, I know, but that's okay. How many of us, and that's part of the instructions, we even, after we read them, sometimes we say, no, I know a better way to put it together. Or I know a better way to do this and that. Now, we've been talking about instructions from God's Word for, what, 2 months now? A month and a half. And want to continue. Sometimes when I get started on something, I just get caught up in it and can't lay it down and leave it alone and can't walk off from it. Okay? And I know some of you are like that in some aspects of your life or some portions of your life. You live with it and you dwell on it and you meditate on it, etc., etc., etc. Well, that has happened to me with these instructions for living as a Christian or instructions of how to be a Christian, how to become one. We kind of dealt with that last week. And some time ago, Carol received this little book with the title, God's Little Instruction Book. Yesterday I said to Carol, is there a little book somewhere, God's Little Instruction Book? She walked to the nightstand and pulled it out, and I believe that the women's organization provided these for, or maybe the Christian Education Committee provided these for every woman in the church. One Mother's Day. Is that a possibility? Did that happen? Did y'all get one? You didn't? I don't know. Anyhow, where did it come from? We're not sure. But she says, God's Little Instructions Book for Leaders. But there are other instruction books
God's little instruction book. Additional copies of this book and other titles. The other titles are God's Little Instruction Book, God's Little Instruction Book 2, God's Little Instruction Book 3. Made a lot of dollars off of God's Little Instruction. Leadership 101 and the Heart of the Leader, that gets into that. Now, it's better to wear out than to rust out. Is that biblical? Probably not, but probably is. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your life. Don't just die. Those are the emotions. That's what I'm saying. Nothing will ever be attempted if all possible objects must first be overcome. Where do you find that in the Bible? Well, that's a paraphrase of the sluggard said, there's a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. Proverbs 26:13, New American Standard Version of the Bible. So, you can find little instructions for living life, or little instruction books from God. It's got God's Word in it. Somewhere in a bookstore or something like that. And I'm not even sure who is responsible for this. But it's out of Honor Books, or by Honor Books, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, if you'd like a copy of this, we'll sure get you some. But we have God's big instruction book. What's the biggest Bible you've ever seen? You know, we have two or three somewhere around. It's about this wide and this, maybe this wide, this tall, and yay big. A lot of Bible helps in it. That would be a big instruction book, wouldn't it? That family Bible that Southwestern Company put out or published some years ago, and it wasn't very readable unless you sat at the table because you couldn't hold it very long in the pages. But it had some good Bible helps in it, and if you got to the table, you could open it up. And Carol's mother even had one with all of her children's verse songs. Three girls, and she had verse songs on the cover of the Bible for each child, and I think for herself and her husband, Carol's dad. And so, Southwestern Company has done a wonderful job of getting Bibles distributed throughout the Southeast and other places too. Our friend Tommy Jones was one that worked with them in Georgia and North or South Carolina years ago when he was a college student. And I had other friends who would go in the summer and sell God's big instruction book. But it doesn't have to be that big. See, this is God's big instruction book, but it's not that big. It's all in here. Maybe those Bible helps are not. What we use for that big instruction book often is to record births and marriages and deaths. And this is good, or it has been through history as good as an official record by Social Security. Those records recorded in that table version of the Bible, bookcase version, family Bible, was as good as a public record in many cases. Now, God's little instruction book is always there. Even a few Bible helps. I think Old Testament and New Testament. God has a pretty good ability to read small print. If you read this, though, it gets real small. But it's God's instruction. We have it. The Bible is more than this. But basically, it's the history of God dealing with people throughout mankind. And then we'll get to the New Testament. It's God's dealing with people throughout mankind, or the Word of God, who God is, and how God's people to live. All about Jesus being God in the flesh. And then examples of what He did, and what He tells us to do.
I don't believe Jesus ever asked us to do anything that He didn't do.
He didn't ask us to do as much as He did. Get over to Paul, he does ask to crucify ourselves, or sacrifice ourselves,
present our bodies as a living sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. And He died on our behalf. God's instruction book, if it comes in this size, or that size that those sales people from Southwestern Company, and incidentally I think they moved from Bible sales into another area now. I have a friend that works there. He attends church, John Phelps from the Bellevue Church. He is there. Okay. We have been dealing with these instructions for some time. And the thing about it, there's a big supply of them. A large supply. Almost limitless. And has any of us, incorporated all of God's instructions into our living? And I'm saying, us. No, we haven't. And as I read God's instructions to me, wow, it says, you missed on this one, buddy. It speaks to me. Does it speak to you? Part of Timothy's letter with the name Timothy to it, but it's Paul writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, writing to the younger preacher. Tells him what to mess with and what not to mess with. And some of them might say, man, I've followed that one to a T, but others I have not followed. Even here at this age in life and tried to, but you run over it or you forget what the instructions say and you have to go back and get the book out and read it again. The thou shalt. How many thou shalt? Thou shalt, or you will, or you must. Not just I recommend, that this is a requirement. And then thou shalt not. They're plentiful. Words from God telling us what He wants us to do or what He wants us not to do. They're so plentiful. The harvest is plentiful for souls to save, but there's a harvest is plentiful in instructions for God's people, encouragements for God's people. A few weeks ago, I divided these instructions into three groups: instructions for worship and other things relating to God, instructions for family relations, and then instructions for dealing with people other than family. In all three, I find myself faltering, missing the mark, falling short, coming up short, sometimes destitute. Worship. It's hard to get away from this when we start reading or studying what God says for us to do in worship. And I touched on these not long ago. I think it's the 27th of August. I didn't get through with the sermon, and so I'm finishing that up today. And so it's a month later, and you may have forgotten what I said in the first part, but I won't go back over that. But we'll start somewhere about where I dropped off. And it's Hebrews 10:24. And it says, spur one another on to love and to good works. Spur us on. How do you spur somebody on? The old cowboy riding west, riding in the west. It might have been riding west. And he had spurs attached to his boots. And he would straddle the horse. And what would he do? He would stick. Do y'all ever do that? Man, do you do that with walking horses? You have to kind of keep them in line and tell them when to go or when to get up. So, horse people understand spurring a lot better than I do. Get your attention. Because you spur them on. And you spur them on to do something good. I know that was. Not to do something bad. Spur them on to obedience. Spur them on to do what you have taught them to do. Spur one another on to love and to good works. Now, I've spurred some people on, or I have incited some people, and I'm not bragging about this. This is a confession. Or I have, what's another word? Discouraged. I guess I've encouraged them to not to do that. Okay, I've encouraged them not to do the right thing. I have incited them to a riot, maybe, in their own doing. Didn't mean to, you know. Incited to a riot. If we grew up in the 60s, we understand that a lot. A lot of incitement to a riot. And those riots, wow, we feared them and whatever. And this is a confession, folks. But spur one another on to love and to good work. This is what encouragement does. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we're told to encourage one another. And encouragement spurs people on to love and to good work. Spur one another on, provoke one another. Provoke is not always a bad word, but when I think he provoked me, I usually think of a bad word. It being a bad thing. But you can provoke somebody to do something good. And that's what we're called to do, to love, provoke one another to love and to good works. And I wish I had been more provoking to love and to good works than I have been. Because this is partly preaching to you, but partly confessing to you. I haven't always been in the right train of thought. And even sometimes, you think you're urging people on to love and to good works, and even the tone of voice that comes out. Just the tone of voice is not encouraging. It may sound a little harsh or a little sharp or a little critical or a little disgusted or something, and you kind of dampen a person's spirit. Stir one another up. Stir them up to love and to good works. That's what we're called. Do not stir them up to anger and hate and hurt. And, you know, we could stand a lot more love being passed around. I have contended for years. I preached it years ago. There's all the love in the world that's needed in the world. It's available. Our problem with love is distribution. Our problem with love is getting it passed around, passing it from one to another. We may love somebody, but we fail to pass it on. We said, we sang a few weeks ago that it only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's how it is with God's love. Once you experienced it, pass it on. Pass it on. Could any of us stand a little more love being passed our way? Most of us could. I haven't heard anybody say, I'm just tired of all this talk about love. Could we not stand some good works being passed on to us? Those people that are receiving those good works, we may be tired of passing the good works on, but are we tired of receiving, be on the receiving end of somebody's good work? They're always needed. And it's always a need for us to be involved in doing good work. Am I right? Have you ever seen too many good works being passed on? Especially if you're on the receiving side. Now, provoking one another to love and to good works. And I've already confessed there. Kind of got ahead of my notes here, if you will. I've provoked people in the other direction unintentionally, hopefully it was every time. In an earlier life, I think I enjoyed it. I don't enjoy it anymore. Then let us encourage one another to be more loving and more involved in good works and not pour cold water on someone's great idea. And yesterday, I stood beside, and weeks leading up to yesterday, I stood aside and kept saying, go, folks, go. From putting up a tent in the rain to Friday night and yesterday to even bringing the tents in last night. Hopefully I was encouraging. I sure wanted to be. And then verse 23, that was verse 24 of Hebrews 10. Go back to verse 23. Let's hold unswervingly. Let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we possess. in a translation of that unswervingly is hold fast. Let us cling to it, if you will. Paul told somebody not to be blown about by every wind and doctrine that comes down the pike. And oh, there are so many coming down the pike today, but it's no different than it used to be. All of my life, when I've been serious about religious things, there's new doctrines or new winds, or we've made a new discovery in God's Word. And sometimes it's not God's Word. Sometimes they're off on a tangent. Now, if it is in God's Word, that's one thing. But if it's off on a tangent somewhere. And Paul talks about these new wind of doctrine. The Hebrew writer said, hold fast to the hope that we possess, not blown about by every wind that someone offers. In other words, hold on. Sometimes all we can do is hold on. Get to the end of the rope, we tie a knot and hold on. You've heard that. Hold on to the hope that we have. That's the hope of heaven through Jesus Christ. Some years ago, again in the 60s, many leaders in the black community used the phrase, keep the faith, baby. Or don't give up the ship. Keep the faith. Hold on. Don't give it up. Don't lay it aside. Hold on to it. Hold on. What is it? It is our hope. My hope is heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a pilgrim passing through, or a traveler passing through. Eternal life. Eternal life with God in that great and glorious place. And He who promised is faithful. Then 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 10. Just go read that one. Paul gives Timothy instructions about how to lead a church. And then 1 Timothy 4, and it's printed before you. Is it 12b? 1 Timothy 4, 12b. That's words to the preacher. Timothy is the young preacher going out to maybe pastor a church, or at least preach to a church. And he tells him to set examples in speech. Set a good example in life. In other words, live a life that would be a good example to the rest of the people that you're ministering to. Set a good example in love. Set a good example in faith. And set a good example in purity. Set a good example in purity. Devote yourselves to the public reading of the Scriptures. That's down at 13. No. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set the example for the believers in your speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's preaching the Bible, isn't it? That's right out of the Bible. I didn't read the Scripture and lay it aside and proclaim on that one, did I? That's right out of the instruction book. And then verse 13 is about the public reading of the Scriptures. In the old Confession of Faith, and that's one I grew up on, 1883, though I wasn't around until much later than that, you know that. And then the new one updated in 1994. But one of the instructions I remember, and it may still be in this one, if the preacher is not available, it's the elder's responsibility to read the Scripture. Just call the people together and pray and read the Scripture. And that still fits. Reading, the public reading of the Scriptures. Now, we know that you can go home and read the Scriptures, right? But if everybody couldn't in 1883, everybody can't now, we need a public reading of the Scriptures so they can hear it. And then preaching and teaching. And it says, don't neglect the gift. These 12 and 13. That's what the Master wants. I believe that God was speaking through the Apostle Paul to tell Timothy how to conduct business in the church. And it says, verse 15, be diligent in these matters. And verse 16 says, persevere. See, I can't get through today either. And then 2 Timothy 2, we're reading from 1 Timothy 4, but 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, actually verse 2, and then verse 22 and following. I don't know if I wrote that one in the outline or not. Maybe I did and maybe I didn't. But I call it to your attention if you want to write it down. Then, in Ephesians 5:15, we read this passage some weeks ago, but the passage says, maybe back in early August, be careful, or be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. And then I wanted to tell you about the house that fell because it was built on a weak foundation from Luke 6, 46 through 49. It's also in Matthew 7. Keep life from falling apart. Read the instruction book. That's what Jesus says. To keep life from falling apart, read the instruction book and do what the instruction book says. Song. I thought of it this morning. I said, Carol, I thought of a phrase in a song. It's 442. We're not going to sing that one, but you might look. 442. It's also 441. Very quickly, we'll look there, and then we will give the invitation. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always. Feed on His Word. Feed on His Word. It's 441 and another version of it's 442. May not make much sense to a non-believer, but it ought to make a lot of sense to a disciple of Jesus. Because it's His instructions to us. Can we sing 379? Take my life and let it be. Sam, maybe we'll sing the first one. Let's see if we need to sing the first one or the second one. Let's sing the first one. Thank you.
Okay. So what's the